Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
I would like to introduce Sophie McGowan, and she has Earsass, E-A-R-S-A-S-S. It's a jewelry company, and she has her designs online, and they are stunning, quite honestly. So, Sophie, can you please tell us your story?
Yeah, of course. And thank you very much for having me on here as well. Like I said, I actually do live in Scotland, but my partner and I, we also live out in Denmark as well. So I kind of float between the two countries, as I say. I started Earsass in the first lockdown. I've always loved jewelry. It's been such a passion of mine. I remember making bracelets and earrings when I was really little, and I would sell them in the local post office. And in the hotel, I would be making jewelry, and we'd have, the guests could buy it there. I've studied fashion design and interior design, and I've had the chance to work with some of the most incredible mentors and people. And I just felt like there was sort of a bit of a calling and an opportunity for me to really be the creative person that I knew I always was supposed to be. And I thought, right, I'm going to start my earring business, and did that in the first lockdown, and in my little office studio. And I sort of started off by actually physically making them. So I would have the products, I'd be mixing the chemicals, the resin with the powder and all the rest of it. And I didn't quite realize then that you needed to have a very specific temperature and an environment in order for that to set and for it to work. And so there was a lot of what I call smash tests, where I just didn't have the right environment for it at all. I didn't have a workshop, or it was basically an office, you know, a spare room that I turned into an office. So I then decided, well, I must be able to find a manufacturer that I can create these designs with, and did that, and then had them make the pieces, and then they would ship the pieces to me, and then I would actually physically create the earrings from that as well. So it's, I think as well, is that when I was doing that, I kind of knew the fact that, because it was such a success, and, you know, friends of mine had created a website for me very quickly, and an Instagram, we'd started that, and they were selling and people were absolutely loving them. So I had to scale it by having the parts shipped, and then I could actually construct the earrings myself. So yeah, it was a very creative time for me to be able to sit and just think, right, what is it that I want to do? What do I want to do in this time to benefit me and others?
The jewelry business is pretty competitive.
Well, it wasn't actually as competitive when I first started. The type of brand that I wanted was always affordable. So I guess you could call it fast fashion. And there was only really that available in shops and in stores. Yes, there was other big brands, but it wasn't as competitive four years ago.
Do you rotate the designs rapidly, or do you have sort of tried and true designs that are crowd pleasers?
Obviously, we go by seasons in advance. And an example of certainly this spring summer is that we really wanted to launch what we call the Soul Collection, which was based a lot around gemstones, crystals, pearls, and, you know, that's very, very, very trending anyway, but it's very close to me. I'm obsessed with crystals. They're all over my house, and anything that's colorful. And this whole new collection really came from my love for that, but it's very, very trendy as well. And this collection was physically handmade by me. So I was, you know, all the designs that we came up with, and then I physically sit and I'm stringing everything and making sure I've got the right parts. You know, we've had a situation where a certain crimp bead that needed to go on the ends that would then secure everything, that wasn't working and it didn't work properly. So we had to go a bit back to the drawing board and make sure that we got another one from a manufacturer that worked really well. Again, it's this whole kind of strength testing and snap testing of things. It's very handmade and it's not, you know, it's not coming from machines. I mean, obviously we have a lot of our earrings, you know, that is, they are designed and then manufactured. But we wanted, because when I first started the business, it was all handmade. So I kind of then started following a trend, in particular for, you know, gold plated jewelry, and then kind of realized, well, actually we're just in this market the same as everybody else. So I just wanted to really come back to the reason why I started Earsass, which was creating jewelry and bespoke pieces that were from myself. But yeah, we are in an unbelievably competitive market, huge, with companies that have got millions and millions of pounds behind them for marketing.
Right. So what are you doing with your marketing to differentiate yourself? So what is your best marketing tool?
I think the best marketing tool I had was that the Princess of Wales wore one of my designs.
That would help.
Wow.
That definitely helps. Yeah, that has scaled the business just in a totally different way.
So and how did that happen?
It's a very sad story, but it's also a very happy story. There's always something incredible that comes from total tragedy. And in 2023, we lost my beautiful cousin to suicide, Izzy. And she was just one of those very, very special people and phenomenal within our family. So to lose her was just absolutely massive. And she lived in a beautiful area in England, which is called Cookham and Maidenhead. So it's right by Windsor where the king lives. And she was a massive rugby player and coach. So the Princess of Wales took on the job of being patron of rugby and football from Prince Harry when he decided to no longer do that anymore. And so she has a charity called Shaping Us, which is all about getting really, really young kids into sport from a very, very early age that we believe, or certainly the charity believes, and we all believe this, is that it really helps with their mental health and getting mm-hmm. them out, whether it's tennis or it's football or it's rugby or whatever kind of sport that it is. And very, very young children, again, going back to COVID, you know, they couldn't do that. They were just indoors constantly, right, being homeschooled or maybe in their backyard, but some people didn't even have that. So she was looking for a rugby ground to go to, or a rugby club to go to talk with them about mental health and sport. And she chose to go to the ground where Izzy was a coach and her mum's a coach and she was a player. And obviously when that happened, the club had to notify her people that there'd obviously been a huge loss, so that when she did come, because it was only 2 months later, obviously she was made aware about Izzy, and then she was told that her mum would be there because she's part of the club and is a coach as well. And so her mum said to me, you know, the Princess of Wales is going to be at the club. Do you think maybe what we should do is gift her a beautiful pair of gold star earrings that I had designed and then named after Izzy? And sort of going back to the ethos of Earsass, when I first started, all of my designs were named after inspirational women in my life, or, you know, it could have been the fact that I'd known that person for my whole life, or I've struck up the most amazing conversation in a bookshop with someone and I knew that their name was, I don't know, Irene or something, and I thought, I know, I'm going to name these gorgeous earrings after you. So I named the star earrings after Izzy and called them the Izzy Star. And we also knew that we wanted to work with a charity so that when we launched them, we would donate a percentage of the earring sale to a chosen charity. But we hadn't quite kind of got there yet with what charity we wanted to work with and what one would be very close to us. So we decided, yeah, okay, that would be great. If you get the chance to meet the princess, then yeah, let's give her a pair and talk to her about Izzy and talk to her about what we're going to be doing, working with the charity that we're working with and why. And I didn't even really speak to Izzy's mum, Sarah, after, or really that day. It was only literally when my phone started pinging because the press were there and they saw the gift that was being given to the princess. And they wanted to know what it was. And of course, then they found out what it was and the story behind it. So it wasn't just something very random. It was something that had so much meaning behind them. And then I saw it in the press. And of course, they were so moved by the way that Kate had embraced Izzy's mum, and basically from one mother to another, of feeling such horrible loss. And it was just, it was so moving, and it was just very classic of our princess. She's just so wonderful and compassionate and genuine, and works a lot with mental health charities. And, you know, she said, you know, I will wear them. Thank you. And obviously said, thank you so much. And then, you know, everybody left, and she had the most wonderful day playing rugby with everybody. And I kind of almost forgot the fact that she'd had them. I mean, obviously, you know, in my mind, it was like, you know, wow, our Princess of Wales, one of the biggest world's fashion icon, has got a pair of earrings maybe sitting on her dressing table. You know, isn't that just so wonderful? And that it's part of Izzy. And, you know, I kind of didn't really think, oh, when will she wear them, and it becoming such a big thing. And then obviously, you know, we know that World Mental Health Day was around the corner in the October, and we do an awful lot on our social media and talking in general all the time about mental health and suicide. It was just such a surreal day, because for us, it was going to be such a moment of another realization, another sort of memory of the fact that we've all got to get through another day of losing Izzy. And then again, my phone is sort of pinging, and I turn around to Jazz in the office, and I said to her, I think that she might have worn the earrings. And this was on World Mental Health Day. So not only did she have them and receive them, but she could have worn them at any point. But she decided to wait until World Mental Health Day to wear them to honor her and to remember her by, but to remember everybody who has lost their life through suicide. And it was just so, the impact was just incredible to our family. And having her do something so special as that, it was just incredible for so many people. So
what
many
a wonderful
people.
Person!
Yeah, that is so amazing.
Yeah, for the world.
It really was. And then, you know, she wore them on that day. And then where Izzy went to school, which was in a village called Marlow, which is again just near where Izzy lived, she wore them again 2 days later, because she was in that area and wanted to honor her again.
Can I buy a pair of these earrings?
Yeah, yeah. So the charity we decided to go with is a charity called Brave Mind. And Simon, who founded the charity, was an ex-rugby player, and he went through some horrendous mental health himself because he had a spinal accident, and then it meant that he could no longer play professional rugby. And there's a huge amount of stigma around mental health and suicide in sport, and the pressure of the performance. And so he decided to start Brave Mind, where they do an awful lot of education. So we you know, we all talk about the fact that we should talk more about mental health and we should speak more to each other. But actually, it's kind of really about more about spotting the signs, whether that's in the workplace or it's at a school or it's any environment, is actually looking and seeing if somebody's behavior has changed, and actually asking the question of, have you ever felt suicidal? Not just asking how you are or are you okay, but actually asking those words. And they're the hardest thing that you could possibly ask anybody that is going through any kind of mental health, because you feel like you don't want to say that to them because perhaps they're going to react in a different way, but then perhaps you might open up a whole can of worms, but it might be such a great can of worms to open.
So I want to ask Dan, do you have any thoughts or comments that you'd like to ask Sophie?
Well, first of all, I'm a huge rugby fan. So I don't root for Scotland though, even though I love Finn Russell.
We love Finn.
I'm so sorry. I don't root for Scotland. I root for Italy because they always lose. As an entrepreneur, I'm a big underdog fan. Well, I'm just curious. I mean, it's a fascinating story, and I'm just curious, Elizabeth raised the point about how do you kind of separate from the fray. So I'm just wondering if you have any like really neat marketing tactics that you've used, anything like out of the box or like something wild that you've done.
Yeah, I have a PR agent and we have marketing. And if we just go back to the fact that there is so much competition, we do throw our jewelry at people. And literally, like, you know, we're constantly reaching out to influencers. We're constantly reaching out to different types of celebrities. But obviously, we don't just want it to be anybody. It has to be people who are, you know, if it's an influencer, we have to make sure that they have the right custom that we want, the right reach. There's no point in us just gifting our jewelry to people that if they were to wear it, their reach is nothing. It's not going to benefit us at all. It only really benefits them because they've been gifted the jewelry, and you know, we want them to be doing some really lovely, you know, user generated content for us that actually is going to benefit the business.
Is it a quid pro quo? Is it like, hey, I'm sending you jewelry, you have to post five? Like, how does that work?
So it is something that we've only really just started to tap into, is actually doing paid user generated content. So I can't really comment much on that at the moment. Because we're just putting a program together. Like, for instance, you know, the other day I said, right, let's pick an amazing influencer who's got, say, 110 million followers. You pick a person, but then you have to really, really look into whether or not it's going to be beneficial for your business. Are the people that are following them, are they going to engage and they're going to be like, oh, I really love this. This is amazing jewelry. I'm going to buy that.
A lot of people have a lot of followers. They don't even have a lot of engagement. It's just so...
This is it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're at that stage. And, we, you know, I phoned up my PR agent and I said, right, let's chuck £3,000 at somebody who's got loads and loads of followers and they're fantastic. And we were all a bit like, whoa, hold on a second. Let's actually take that budget and spread it right the way across, even if it was 100 sort of micro influencers, but they've got the right customers and tap into some more stylists. Mm. It's sort of an ongoing sort of strategy at the moment that we're really sort of tapping into in that side of things, is that we're not just going to go and throw loads and loads of money at influencers that will then do one reel and one story post for sort of £4,500.
I love the name Earsass.
I love your story. It's amazing. But how do people find you?
Earsass.com. And then our handles are on Facebook and Instagram. We are just at Earsass.
Earsass.com. And really, I encourage everyone who likes jewelry or knows someone who likes jewelry.
I'm not a connoisseur, but I went to the website and I thought the pieces were great. And then I looked at the prices and I thought, this is really reasonable. This is good stuff.
Yeah. And then you bought me something.
And of course, with the Izzy Star, we donate £5 to Brave Mind, the charity. So from all the sales so far, we've raised over £20,000 for the charity, which is just amazing. And our US market is huge. It's incredible. So we're so grateful to everybody in the US that support us, which is amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. Excellent. Thank you, Sophie.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.